And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
Go.
We're here again, and we got a win.
Yes, sir.
It's about time. Let's got a win.
Just in time for historic episode 50.
Yes, historic 50. We've been doing this 50 episodes.
Yes,
holy
sir.
Cow.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Absolutely wild.
I don't know. We got a win this week. We got 50. How are you feeling about all that?
Yes, sir. I'll take it. You know what? I was really getting a little nervous that we were going to compete last year's Pistons for that loss streak.
The Pistons have won four games.
Yeah,
so
they're doing
far.
A lot better.
I saw a stat. They won four games last year after already having 40 losses.
Oh, man.
They already have four wins, so they're doing way better.
Yeah, they're killing it. But I was getting nervous we were going to go for their record that they set
brother.
Last year. But I'm glad we got a win. It's a little bit of weight off our shoulders, so... Feeling good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm happy about the win. I just want to point out, with 50 episodes of the podcast, that means we've been doing this. We usually do on a weekly basis, almost a year's worth of episodes.
Yep.
If we did it every single week, so that's exciting.
That's really cool.
I love doing this for you, that listeners that listen to us each episode. We love you, and we hope that this is fun to you, something you can listen to while you're at work or on your drive to school or whatever you're doing.
Absolutely. We're so grateful that you joined us. And we have another exciting episode coming today, or we're going to try to make it exciting at least. We're going to talk about our prediction tracker. We're going to give you a little update how that's going for us, as well as our past week's games that will go along with that. We'll talk about some of the good things, some of the bad things. And then we'll pick our player of the week. Well, Andrew will pick our player of the week. And then we'll talk about our upcoming games. We'll make our predictions about how we'll do against the Spurs, Suns, and Mavs. And then we're going to talk some general Jazz things. We're going to talk about how are the Jazz doing player development. Who are the guys we're looking for as college basketball starts this week. And then, of course, we have to talk about some NBA news, some Sixers, some Greg Popovich, sprinkle in a little bit of fantasy. And then we'll, of course, close out with our local sports, some exciting things happening as we speak, probably as you're listening to this. Don't forget to check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us on Instagram at TunedInJazz, and you can share that with a friend. We would love to hear your thoughts as well, get you involved in the conversation. And this is episode 50 of Tuned In Jazz.
Okay, let's talk about these past week games. You pulled away on the predictions. I'll just give a recap. I thought the Bulls were going to beat us road game. I'm so happy we got a win, though.
Yeah,
Jazz ended up winning by 9. So you predicted a win on the Bulls.
Yeah, that helped me a lot.
Lost on the, so you predicted every game within 15 points, which is
pretty good.
We lost by 23 to the Bucks. Neither of us really expected that. But so you pulled away. Now you're at 116 points, and I'm at 132. That's how many points you were off so far. So it's golf score.
Yeah, it's interesting how quick it can change, though. We were both tied at 80 last week, so I don't think anybody's out of it. So
I think one thing that's cool about the NBA, even though like a lot of these Jazz games, we're expecting losses because that's just how this year's going to go.
Yeah.
Anything could happen on any night in the NBA.
Absolutely.
Right. Like the Pistons winning four games so far is surprising.
Yeah.
The Dennis Schroeder on the Nets looks like an all-star player some nights. Like, I don't know if you saw, he had like 2 30-point games. So even though we're trying to predict these lines, like, dude, anything could happen. So
yeah, we were talking about in the car ride over just how much basketball is like that. People can catch fire. We were talking about college basketball, but people can catch fire. Teams can like make it work on a given night, and you can show up lackadaisical for a game and it could just catch you by surprise. So
yeah, even Steph Curry can have an off night.
Absolutely.
As rare as that might seem.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
But first game was against the Nuggets.
Yeah.
We got blown out.
Yes, we did.
It wasn't close. It felt like when I actually did watch this whole game.
Yeah.
And it felt like when we were within 15 points, it was a close game for our respects.
Yeah.
because it just never really got closer than that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that you could probably talk about with the Jazz offense and turnovers and all of that not really going great for this game, but anything that really stands out to you, just
yeah,
or some bright spots as well that come from the Nuggets.
Oh man, I just think Walker Kessler had himself a game. He was 18 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 blocks. Just incredible. I mean, that's really the only only guy that jumps off the stat sheet to me. Everybody else just kind of had a okay game. The Nuggets are just, I know you're a doubter if they can pull it together. I think they're going to pull it together. They're just trying to work with each other. I think Westbrook's interesting on that team. He's still doing his normal 2-for-11, super inefficient.
Yeah, we left him open.
Yeah, but he had 7 assists and 5 steals. That's just kind of his new role, I feel like, in the NBA, just to bring a lot of energy, even if you're not scoring a lot of points when he's on the floor.
Right. Yeah. I was impressed with their bench. Their bench has not been good in these other games they've been losing, because they're 3-3 right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if I can trust in Julian Strother,
yeah,
Peyton Watson.
19 points.
Hunter Tyson on a regular basis. But yeah, Julian Strother had 19 points out of nowhere. I don't know how he did that.
That's crazy.
but really, again, it's the turnovers. We had 22 this game. They actually had 17, so we forced some turnovers.
Yeah.
And then on the rebounds, we had 39. They had 52 rebounds. So, like, kind of what you expect when you go up against Jokic is that you're going to get out-rebounded.
Yeah.
And that usually leads to wins when you out-rebound the other team. So, yeah. And then the third thing as well that I'll point out, we shot 30% from three to their 50% from three. And we made less threes than them as well. So they shot more threes and made more threes than we did. So I don't know. Broad overview, those are the things that I keep looking at each of these games. We need to continually work on our 3-point shooting, trying to lower the turnovers, and actually with the Nuggets, you kind of expect to be down on rebounds. Some of these other games we haven't been doing too bad on the glass, but with the Nuggets we did struggle because of Jokic.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if there is any bright spot for the whole week as a whole, I think especially like Keontae's been doing a lot better with turnovers. He still has 1 or 2 a game, which is not ideal either, but
right,
it's not 5 or 6 like we've seen in some of our earlier games, so we could take that as a win.
Yeah, it also seems like we're getting to the line a lot.
Absolutely.
Like Keontae and Colin Sexton have both become pretty aggressive at getting to the line. So if anything, we're not like getting superstar calls like having Embiid or Giannis on our team, but we're getting a lot of free throws made. We're actually 4th in the league in free throws made per game.
Yeah.
And 4th in attempted. So that's pretty good. So free throw wise, we're killing it, but that doesn't always, that's not the only thing that needs to go well for a win, right? Yeah. It helps, but you need more things. So,
speaking of turnovers, so in our next game, we beat Chicago. Keontae George went to the line 13 times.
Holy.
He just had like a monster game. I feel like for me, this was kind of like last year, we saw some glimpses of what we hoped Keontae could be. And this year, I've just been kind of feeling like, oh, was that just like, you know, were those flukes or what was it?
That was just a small stretch.
Yeah, but this game against Chicago, he looked really nice. He was shooting confidently. He was pulling up and hitting shots. He didn't shoot super inefficiently. He was, I guess, 8-for-18 is not great, but it's not.
For a guard
like
him, that's pretty good.
6-for-12 from three is pretty good. And he added 9 assists on top of his 33 points. So he was like making everybody better, which I just thought it was a really fantastic game for him.
I mean, I think we have to just out of fun, we have to contrast that with Talen Horton Tucker on the other side, right?
Yeah.
He had himself
THT revenge game.
A mid game. He had 10 points and 4 assists. But I like to think that we always made fun of THT. Well, not a 10, but I like to think that he helped us get this win.
Yeah. Yeah, we appreciate it. We really do. We need to put his jersey up there in the rafters, I think.
Yeah, it's funny. But he actually had a positive plus minus. So he actually was helping the Bulls. But just thank you, THT. We needed this one.
You know, I've never really like hated THT. I just didn't feel like he fit on our team. I do kind of like his game a little bit. I think it's just weird to try to fit on a team. Like, you'd have to kind of build around him, and I'm not sure he's that good that you could build around him. Not even close.
He's still pretty young, too. Yeah. He's like 24, 25.
Yeah, he's got a lot of length. He knows how to get a bucket, but he just takes a lot of shots. So that's kind of makes it hard. But I'm happy for him that he is in the rotation, at least in Chicago.
Yeah. I think we also got to point out John Collins had an amazing game, too. He had 28 points off the bench. Sir. He played 30 minutes off the bench too, so like basically started.
Yeah.
But he also had 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks.
Yeah.
Very good game for John Collins.
Yeah, he played fantastic.
I've been noticing as I've been watching John Collins this season, he looks different in the way that he's being used on offense. I think last year he was usually the center. He's been center this year too, but not always.
Yeah.
But he's been a lot more aggressive at creating his own shot and driving to the rim.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that.
I haven't noticed that. Yeah.
But he's good at it. Like, he has this spin move that he does, spin dunk. He's looking like Giannis a little bit. Like, he does,
plays really physical, too.
Yeah. And he's hard to block, and he's like really quick off a pivot.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's getting pretty easy buckets just by doing his thing every game.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. He might be like our sixth man now, him and Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
But yeah, 28 points off the bench. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Amazing game from him.
Another one I just want to point out, he didn't have like a great game statistically, but the highest plus minus for this game was Cody Williams at 16, plus 16.
Right.
11 points. I think that's his high as of right now. 4 assists, 5 rebounds, a steal. He was 5 for 8. He wasn't taking bad shots.
4 assists.
Yeah, he went to the line 4 times and only made one. So that, you know, that's a rookie thing that we can work on. But I don't know. Hopefully that's a first step in some bigger games for him.
Love it. Let's finish it off with the Bucks last night.
Do we have to? I'm just kidding. We do.
Giannis was hurt a couple games before this. But he ended up playing anyways.
Yeah.
What a beast. We held him to only 31 points. Dame and Giannis killed us. They both had 30 plus. Bobby Portis had 19 off the bench. I'll be honest, we were at the BYU games. We're kind of just watching the ticker on this game.
Yeah.
But it looked like the Jazz were kind of down for the entirety of the game. I don't know if they ever had it close. But Walker Kessler, honestly, Walker Kessler had an all right game, but nobody really had a great game this time. Maybe Jordan Clarkson off the bench, he had 18. But nobody really stuck out too much.
Yeah, Patty Mills is the only one that had a positive plus minus at 5.
Right. I'm looking at like the score. The game was close up until like halfway through the third quarter. It was like within 1 and or like tied.
Yeah.
But then the end of the third quarter, they were up by 10.
Yeah.
And never looked back. So, like, the Jazz did keep it close till then.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we only scored 100 points. They scored 123. So, I think they just kind of started going off.
Yeah.
So,
I think I honestly, even though the Bucks beat us, I think that they're in some serious trouble. Just looking at this box score, literally, it's just Giannis and Dame. Like, nobody else is. Even Brooke Lopez had 1 point, and 5 rebounds. It's like
Giannis shot 1 shot outside the paint too. All of his other shots were inside the paint.
Yeah.
One of them was a free throw line jumper. The rest were in the paint. So we just needed to clock that up.
Bobby Portis, the only other one that scored double digits. Oh, I guess there's a guy at the end of the bench that scored double digits too. But it just, they need to figure something. Like, their roster is just not set up very well. Currently, where the heck is Chris Middleton? Who even knows? I haven't even. I guess he's probably injured. I haven't been following him.
Yeah, he's injured right now.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
They're in trouble, but they're on the up a little bit. They're 2-6, one more game than us. We're both 1-6 going into this game. Yeah,
they'll get back in the playoff. They'll get back in the playoff hunt, but final championship hunt? I'm not sure. That's a,
hey, we'll see. They got plenty of time. But that kind of leads us into player of the week.
Yes.
It's my turn to pick the player of the week. And it's between two guys. And I decided to go with John Collins.
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
He had a great game against the Bulls. The best game of the week was against the Bulls. He had 28 in that game.
Yeah.
And then in the first game against the Nuggets, he did pretty well off the bench too.
Yeah.
So it was between him and Walker Kessler because Walker had a great game too, but I decided to give it to a new guy that hasn't earned player of the week yet.
Yeah.
Give it to John Collins.
I could agree with that. Do you think, I'm curious about John Collins, do you think that with the way he's been playing, is he making more of a case that he fits with the Jazz, or is he just building trade value, do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I don't think teams, like, even though he's been playing pretty well, mm-hmm. I don't think teams are thinking $24 million well.
No. Yeah.
But his value is higher now than it was before. That's all I'm saying, right?
Yeah, so it's true.
It's definitely, I don't think that he's going to be here long term still.
Yeah, I don't think so
either. But his value is going up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hey, if the Jazz did re-sign him for like 15, maybe 12 to 15 mil a year,
yeah,
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah.
If honestly, he's a bench scorer,
I could see
if he's okay accepting that role, I guess. But
and you know what? If the Lakers want to give up Bronny James, I'm fine with it. You know, I'm just kidding. But I feel like the Lakers, I feel like
Lakers reported interest in Walker Kessler.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
I think that there are some teams that need some rebounders. I just don't know what the market is for a player like John Collins. I don't feel like there's got to be some team that needs
the Warriors. His skill set.
Yeah.
The Warriors need size.
That's true.
I don't think they have the money, but hey, give us Kuminga. We'll give you John Collins.
Yeah, that's fair. They don't want Kuminga anymore, so.
He's not even playing, really.
So it'll be interesting to see. I agree with you. I don't think he fits long term. He's not a piece that we're going to be able to build with, but.
But shout out to John Collins for this week, player Absolutely. Of the week.
Absolutely.
But then we got some games coming up next week. Actually, one tonight against the Spurs in San Antonio. Who do you got for that?
All right. So against San Antonio, I think we're going to get our second win tonight. I think it's going to be a tight game, and I think Jazz win by three. They win by three.
I'm along the same wavelength. I got win by six.
Oh, okay.
Second win. Spurs haven't been that good, so.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's good. I like that. What about Tuesday? We come back home, play Phoenix. How are you feeling on that one?
I'm just going based off what I've seen from Phoenix.
Yeah.
And they only have one loss so far. They look amazing.
Yeah.
I think we're going to lose by 16.
Ooh, okay.
I've never predicted that big of a margin. So
yeah, I'm right with you. I swung for the fences on this one. I'm going to say a loss by 21.
Oh, man. Okay.
Just looking at some of our other games, like against, even just against the Nuggets and Bucks, I feel like it's within the realm of possibility that we lose by 20
plus.
That's
a big margin, though, 20.
The Suns are hot. They're 7-1, I think, 8-1.
Yeah.
They just won last night against the
Mavericks.
Really tight game. Came down to the last couple seconds, so.
Well, speaking of the Mavericks, we also play them
on
Thursday in the Delta Center.
Yes, we do. I feel like as weird as this sounds, we match up a little better with the Mavericks. I'm going to say we lose by six. I'm just saying that so that we lose by a lesser margin than 21, but we'll still
That's
lose
fair.
Probably.
You want to have that game, come out of that game feeling a little better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got lose by 10.
Okay, fair enough.
So kind of similar.
Fair enough, yeah.
I think I do agree with you. We do match up better. But also last time we played the Mavericks, Luka was like 7 for 25 or something.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to do that again.
No, I don't think so either.
So if he does get going, then we're in trouble. But we did not bad against them last time. So.
Yeah. I really do feel like Dallas is just figuring it out over time too. Adding Klay Thompson is such a big like shift in their whole like how they game plan. And so
they're in a gelling period. Yeah.
They're going to figure it out. Who knows when they will, but.
Right, and then just another thing. Last week, we went to the Spurs game.
Yes.
We didn't talk about our experience.
We totally forgot.
Wanted to do this fun thing because there's going to be a lot of Jazz games that we could potentially go to this season. The prices are a little bit lower now.
Yes,
the experience
sir.
Is pretty fun. I'm going to give you like a mini Qualtrics survey about how, just from my own head, but about what your experience was like, Grady. So one, let's say food wise, how are you feeling about the food at the Delta
Center?
Oh
man. Oh dude, this is the first thing I was
going to
mention.
Maybe rate 1 to 10.
1 to 10? Definitely 10. I mean, I got a hot dog, a drink, and I felt better about buying a churro with the family friendly pricing, even though that's not part of it. So I was like $6-7 or something for all three. Killer, man. I loved it.
It's gone up since last year then?
Oh, 100%. The hot dog definitely was a $3 hot dog, I will say.
Right.
It was...
You could taste that it was cheap, but it was still food.
It was food, yeah. It didn't taste bad. It just was $3. That's all. It was good.
Okay, what about the merchandise? 1 out of 10.
Yeah, I got a shirt. It was actually, the shirt was pretty comfortable. I've worn it once since, so I'm going to say a 6 or 7. Their prices are still too high in the team store, but.
Right. I think they can lower them a little bit. Yeah. I also got a hoodie from them. Kind of expensive, but I love it.
Yeah.
It's so comfy. It's like a new era brand, so.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I don't know. I'd probably rate it like 7 out of 10.
Yeah, that's fair.
The prices were better.
That's fair.
Okay, and then what about the gameplay?
Yeah. That's tough. I thought the environment was fun. I mean, there's just, I don't know. We had some pretty nice view seats. We were up in the nosebleeds, but I felt like we had a really clear view, which was nice. It's always fun being in the stadium for the game. There were some exciting moments. It was fun to see Wemby too.
That helps so a I will lot, say. Just being able to see Wemby.
But we weren't really in the game for very long, so it was kind of...
Maybe like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah. It's hard to get.
Okay, and then this is actually an important one for people that don't live in Salt Lake. What about like the parking?
Oh, interesting. Too expensive.
Yeah.
I did think we found a good spot though, or decently distanced. We got out of there pretty quicker than I thought we would. We didn't get stuck in traffic.
Yeah, it was
for
pretty efficient with the police and all that.
Yeah. Way too expensive though. I think what was it, like $35 or something? We had four guys, so we like split it or whatever, but
out the Front Runner train.
Yeah.
Free. Much, much better. And you can walk over to the Delta Center.
Absolutely.
Okay, especially, and then overall experience out of 10.
Oh, man. I just love being a Jazz fan. Win or lose. It's just fun to be there, be a part of it. Jazz just have the best fans. Like, you know, not every seat was filled, but the people that were there were cheering and it was fun.
It was 90% of the seats were filled, too.
Absolutely.
I feel like.
So I'd give it a 9 out of 10. I'll give it a 10 as soon as we start winning. So,
hey, man, I'm probably right there with you. 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
They do pretty good job.
Absolutely.
Keeping it exciting, even like in the breaks and stuff. So overall experience, 9. So fun time. I'm expecting to go to some more games throughout the year. I kind of want to go see Giannis when they come
that'd
to town.
Fun. Yeah, that'd
but
be really fun.
Be some good games.
Yeah. Well, all right. So I guess that takes us to some Jazz stuff. Staying on the Spurs a little bit, we talked about Wemby. It was fun to see him play.
Yeah.
You pointed out an interesting stat before we started this that he's shooting like 7 threes a game. Is that right?
Yeah.
On average?
Yep. A lot.
So it seems like the Spurs are really trying to get Wemby into... be a better three-point shooter or more comfortable taking those shots, which is kind of an interesting strategy for development. I don't know. What do you think of the Spurs approach on development?
So this is interesting. I don't know if you remember last year, Jeremy Sohan for the Spurs, he was put at point guard as an experiment.
I remember seeing him take the ball up a lot. Yeah.
He's not a point guard. He's like a power forward, but they put him at point guard as an experiment to see if they could teach him how to be a better playmaker and passer, right?
Interesting.
It completely failed.
Yeah.
They lost a lot of games, and because it failed, they didn't put him at point guard again after that. But I think their plan was, even if he doesn't play a point guard long term, we want him to be able to make the right passes.
Some skills. Yeah.
And so maybe he's better at that now, but I don't really see that big of a difference.
Yeah.
Maybe it gave him some more confidence, but maybe it shattered his confidence because it didn't work.
Well, I remember something similar to that, right? Like when Giannis was starting his career, do you remember? I think it was Jason Kidd was the coach, and he had Giannis playing point guard for like the whole season. Like he was their point guard, and I don't know if it, I couldn't remember if it was like that he just thought Giannis was a point guard, or if he like, or if he, if
it's he doesn't similar. Look like a point guard.
But Giannis does not have point guard skills now, so it clearly didn't work in that case either.
But he, I do feel like Giannis, he averages a decent amount of assists.
That's true. He's not a bad passer.
He does know how to make the right passes when he needs to.
But he does turn the ball over when he puts the ball on the floor for very long. I mean, he doesn't do that. He doesn't dribble the ball a ton.
Yeah, he only needs like two or three dribbles to get from half court to the rim.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of an interesting approach to development.
Yeah. Anyways, I think the question here is, I want to hear your take on this. Do you think it's better, and this could be related to the Jazz doing their player development, do you think it's better to throw players in the fire and expect them to do things that they can't do so that they can learn? Or do you think it's better for players to kind of wait their turn to back up and learn from some guys ahead of them in the rotation? And and then once their time's ready, then let them be thrown into fire once they've practiced.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, we talked a little before, but it's kind of, in my mind, it's kind of like the NFL, what the NFL's facing right now too, where like, we see guys like Zach Wilson just got thrown into the fire, and it was, I would argue, a failure for him at the end for the Jets.
I think it is.
But then you look at a guy like Jordan Love, another in-state guy here, backed up Aaron Rodgers for one or two seasons, and now he's playing really well. He's doing really well. But it's unclear, because it's not clear in every case. Like, there's some quarterback, like C.J. Stroud was just fine last year.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I know that's football and it's a little different, but it just makes me wonder. I'm kind of in the boat in basketball, just throw him in the fire. Like I would really love to see Coach Hardy go to Filipowski and Collier earlier, or even like Oscar Tshiebwe and Makai Luke. Like I think those guys need to be playing at least a couple of minutes every game.
Yeah.
Just to get comfortable with the NBA, or at least send them to the G League. Like, I don't know why they're just sitting on our bench, you know? Like,
I also think it kind of has to do, I've been learning about this in my school classes, about kind of your mindset.
Yes.
Some guys, they get into the rotation and they feel like they're an imposter. Like, they're like, how am I in the NBA? Like, they're probably the worst guy on the floor when they're starting out, right?
Absolutely.
And they think like, where do I really belong here?
Perfect, yeah.
Am I going to be able to do this? That shatters a player's confidence if Absolutely. They think that way. But what I like about what the Spurs are doing with Wemby and just telling him to shoot 7 threes a game, even though he's doing really bad, it's not that he's, his mindset's shifting from, I'm not a good 3-point shooter, to I can become a good 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think if we give our players that mindset, say, hey, you have a lot of things to learn. You can become that as you play and as you practice, right? And so I think throwing them in the fire in the game is great, as long as those players understand they're okay to make mistakes. If anything, mistakes are celebrated as they learn from them and grow into those skills, right? And I think they can do it, because they're amazing at basketball. They've made it to the NBA. They can definitely grow.
Yeah.
So I think just having that growth mindset that you can become what you need to become.
That's such a great point too. Like, confidence in sports, that's something I've been realizing over the last couple of years. Like, confidence is just everything. Like, we look at a guy like Ben Simmons, who when he was first in Philadelphia was just like, he was next in the NBA. In my opinion.
All NBA.
Yeah, dude. But one of the best defenders in the league, an insane passer. And now like, he just plays himself off the floor every single game. Like, he had that bad series in Philadelphia. Was it against Atlanta? Yeah. He had a really bad series.
Shoot the ball, Ben.
And then after that, he just stopped shooting the ball because he didn't have confidence. And now he doesn't even play at all like he used to. Even guys like Russell Westbrook, at every stop, he was triple-double guy. And all of a sudden, he gets to the Lakers where things aren't going well. And now he just like can't score the ball at all. Like, he's it's just bad. So it's so interesting, because you're right. You can't just throw these guys in.
And even we saw this firsthand with Walker Kessler last year.
Oh, 100%. Right? with Team USA, where they didn't play him. And
That kind of broke his confidence. And I think he's come to a place now. He even talked about this on K-Jazz, where he's been going to do therapy to gain confidence and
I like that.
See that. And I've already seen the improvement. He's more confident on the court and he looks better too.
Absolutely.
So your confidence is king, right? Yeah. You need that.
And it's a balance. It's like, you don't want to throw them in the fire too much where it just destroys their identity that I'm a good basketball player. But you also don't want to throw them at the end of the bench so that they're also oh, do I even fit here? Is there a role for me in the NBA?
Their confidence is shot because they're not getting minutes.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of interesting. It's definitely easier said than done of what should we do with these rookies? Patty Mills and Jordan Clarkson and John Collins, these guys are playing a lot right now. Will that change this season? I don't know. I hope at some point we start giving some of these guys more minutes, but who knows?
Definitely. Well, that's a good segue just to, as we go forth in these next couple games, keep your eye on their minutes. I think these players should play a lot, and I hope that they get some good experience in these upcoming games.
Absolutely.
But speaking also of just draft, we want to start a new segment that we'll do maybe not every episode, maybe every episode, but we want to talk about draft prospects.
Yes, sir.
Because part of the excitement for this Jazz season is that we're going to get a good draft pick, probably.
I think so.
So we want to learn as much as we can, not just 2 weeks before the draft, but throughout the year, of some of the guys that the Jazz can end up getting.
Yeah.
So we picked two of our favorite guys to start out, but we're going to mix it up throughout the season. Do you want to start or do you want me to go?
Yeah, I could start. So the number one guy, this is the guy we're all shooting for. Everybody in the NBA wants him. Cooper Flagg. He's already got a deal with Gatorade or something. The dude's just, he's next, right? I mean, we hear that every couple of years with Wemby and Zion. So we'll see if it works out. But Cooper Flagg, player out of Maine, he just last year actually reclassified. He was supposed to graduate this next April and would have been eligible for the next college basketball season. But because of his age, he's going to be 19 early. And so he decided to graduate a year early. He's been playing for Duke, number one prospect. And he started really well. He's clearly their best player in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's just kind of a all-around great player. I think his first game he had it was 7 rebounds and I'll have to look this up. But just a really great all-around basketball player. He's got great length. Against Army the other day, he played them. He only had 13 points but 11 rebounds with a couple blocks. I think he's going to be a really fantastic player. He has a twin brother as well. Twin brother didn't classify early, but he's still in college basketball, committed to their home college, Maine, this year.
Let's go.
Which is pretty cool. Cooper Flagg, I think my biggest question with him in the draft is how does he fit with the Jazz, which is kind of interesting because he's kind of a, I believe he's around the same size as Lowry. He's
6'9".
Okay, 6'9", at least a bigger guy. Lots of length, good 3-point shooter. So to me, I just wonder, what does that lineup look like with Lowry, Markkanen?
I think Cooper Flagg would have to play the 3.
Yeah, and I think for Duke, he's playing power forward, and that's kind of where he's played. But it just makes me wonder. He's a pretty good dribbler. He could be a wing, a small forward.
Yeah, he does have good touch on his jumper too.
Yeah,
good shooter. I'll just give you the NBADraftRoom.com has 3 comparisons for him.
Oh, interesting.
One of them is interesting because former Jazz player Andre Kirilenko is a comparison.
You like that.
As well as Scottie Pippen and Jason Tatum.
Interesting.
So, okay. I mean, all those sound great to me.
Yeah.
He's the number one pick by far right 100%. Now. He's won all these awards, been amazing. We'll just kind of wait and see how he plays at Duke because that'll be his biggest competition he's had so far. And Team USA, he looked great in those highlights.
Yeah.
I don't know how much we should read into that, but he was balling against those
NBA players. One
thing
I love about Duke players is just they know how to play under pressure because he's playing under pressure right now. Duke is Cameron indoors, no place to mess around. They expect a lot from you, so that'll be cool to see him work under pressure, see how he does.
Love it. I love it. Okay, well, I just a little bit of BYU bias for our other draft guy. We chose Igor Demin,
yes, sir,
of BYU from Russia. We know a little bit about him, but I'm going to read some of his bio just so you can know a little bit more. He grew up in Moscow, Russia. So that's where he gets his kind of Russian name from, right? He's playing for BYU, but he previously played for Real Madrid as a teenager. Yeah, kind of played around Europe. And this is kind of his first experience in the U.S. So he's never really been to U.S. So his play style, I'm going to read his draft notes. It says, a jumbo point guard from Russia who's very skilled with the ball in his hands and has a dominant physical profile for a point guard. So his comparison on this website is Josh Giddey, which I don't love that comparison, but it helps you understand he's a great passer, and he's basically like a six foot nine point guard.
Yeah.
Because he's great with the ball in his hands, with his passing. Very unique player.
Yeah.
You're not going to find a guy with that kind of ball skill and passing skill at 6'9".
No.
Very often. So he's not really as strong and built. He's more of a skinny guy. So not really like a LeBron downhill scorer, but he's got long arms, so he can kind of finesse in the finishing. And he has a pretty good three-point shot as well. So expect that we'll see a little bit more of that during the college season, but that he has proven that he has a pretty good jump shot too.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. Where do you think he would fit in the Jazz?
Yeah, I think he'd fit pretty good. Kind of similar, just his size. At least he plays point guard, I think would help a little for a fit with any team.
Because Keontae's played shooting guard before this year, really.
Yeah.
So he's kind of a new point guard.
Yeah, or even if we just had him at a point forward position, like it'd be just kind of interesting. I think there's a lot you could do with a guy like Igor Demin. He's a decent defender too. Interestingly, I just looked up, so Cooper Flagg had 20.7 rebounds and 5 assists in one of his games, and last night Igor Demin was 27 and 5 as well. So
there you go.
So we're
similar height for both of them, but they're definitely different play styles.
Really similar players. I think he'd fit okay with the Jazz. I think he's also just getting used to the U.S. game. We all know, like, we've seen guys like Luka and some of these guys take a little while to get like used to how we play over here, and even then they still have a touch of like Euro ball, and it's going well in most. Jokic and
I mean,
Luka are doing
Luka went to Real Madrid too, so there you go.
Next Luka.
So keep those guys in your head. We'll give you updates on how they play in the college season, and we'll learn about some more players throughout the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
we got a couple NBA things to talk about. The Philadelphia 76ers are kind of a mess right now. They lost Tyrese Maxey for a couple weeks, which is not the end of the world, but something that's kind of brewing. Joel Embiid picked up a 3-game suspension. Is that right?
Yep.
Picked up a 3-game suspension because of some drama that he had with a reporter. There's a report that he might have pushed him or punched him or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, I didn't see
it's unclear
but
exactly.
I think they said like shoved or just pushed him a little
some
bit.
Some kind of physical altercation.
Yeah.
I believe the news report I heard was that the reporter was criticizing Joel Embiid like in an article about how Joel Embiid could go to his daughter's thing and his mom's... I want to say his mom died. I hate to get the information wrong. I'm pretty sure his mom died and he went to her funeral. And the reporter was like, but he can't play more than 2 games in a row, which I think is a little, it's quite
insensitive. They're definitely personally attacking him.
Yeah.
Like they're talking about his family in articles, shaming him. I don't know. The Philly media is insane.
Absolutely.
Like they have no filter, really.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think, definitely don't get physical with these reporters. Yeah. That's absolutely a no. I think the reporters need to figure out a better boundary. I don't think it's right to talk about like personal lives and stuff like
all.
That. So
I think the criticism for him playing like on its own is fair. Like he needs to be held accountable for playing games.
Leave it at that.
But you there's no reason, especially if somebody died. Like you don't. It's just like have some class. There's a time and a place. Actually, there's not really a time and a place for that. You just don't talk about it.
Yeah, this is not the right space for that.
Absolutely.
But just they're 1-7 as well. They're the only other team that doesn't have two wins.
Yep.
The Bucks, Raptors, and Wizards all have two wins, and the Jazz and Sixers both have one.
Just one. Interesting.
And then Paul George just came back from injury, and Tyrese Maxey just got injured. So it's like carousel of players because none of them can stay on the floor.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good about our Nick Nurse pick right now.
Yeah.
I guess if he turns it around, maybe that's even more case for Coach of the Year. But
his Coach of the Year would be they play.
Yeah.
That would get him Coach of the Year.
Yeah, eventually Paul George and Tyrese Maxey will be back. Who knows if Embiid's going to – he'll just do what he does this season.
He'll probably play like 50 games or something.
Yeah, and then he'll complain about not being MVP, so that'll be great. I don't know. Do you think they have reason to be worried, or do you think it's just early and bad circumstances?
I'd be really worried. Panic meter 10.
Yeah, I would agree.
What's going on right now? You can't be 1-7. That's a lot of games to make up.
Yeah.
You got to turn things around quickly, and it's going to be hard now that Maxie's out too.
And you got to feel bad for Paul George. I mean, I know he's injured himself, but he left LA where he was dealing with, I guess, like a running mate, I'll call him, who didn't play, or I know some people think that he's actually injured. I don't believe it, and now he's moving to another situation that's probably even worse than the one he left.
Right.
So it's just kind of, and they paid him a bag, so hopefully he's not too angry.
I wouldn't be angry with $240 million or whatever he
got. That's true. He deserves it.
But yeah, not going great for them. And then Greg Popovich is out with an undisclosed illness, or
I couldn't find
some sort of infirmity or something.
Yeah.
How's he? That's kind of sad. I don't want to see him leave yet. Are you ready to maybe see Greg Popovich hang it up?
Oh, man. Not really. But I was thinking about it the other day. He's like the oldest coach in the NBA by like a pretty wide margin. Like the only other guy I can think that's been around for even half the time is Eric Spoelstra, maybe.
Doc Rivers.
Yeah, but even he's like moved around and hasn't been on the same team.
The Pacers coach too.
Tom Thibodeau has been around for a while.
Tom Thibodeau.
Rick Carlisle.
He's been there for at least 20 years.
Yeah, that's true. So it's sad. I think in the next couple of years, we're going to see a lot of, we've already seen like Melo and D Wade and all these guys retire, and LeBron and Chris Paul are coming next probably. And
I'm surprised Greg Popovich hasn't like changed the position he has to like GM or like president of operations.
Yeah.
I guess he probably would have had that option, but he must just like coaching.
I suspect that he'll never really leave the Spurs. I kind of feel like he'll always probably serve as an advisor to them or.
Yeah. Or like a guy that just sits around in practice.
Yeah.
Gives guys tips and isn't really officially a head coach at some point.
But. Well, and honestly, like you know, for those of you who don't know, I'm a family studies major here at BYU. And the family studies major in me looks at his situation. His wife died, what was that, like 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of research shows that, like, especially men struggle after their wives die. And so, and people in general struggle when they retire with their identity and things like that. So it makes me wonder with Greg Popovich, is it just like, does he have anything else to do? You know, like his wife's not.
This is his life now, right? Yeah.
Is he going to enjoy retirement just by himself? You know, like, so anyways, I hope whatever the health thing is, though, I hope that he's not too serious. He's not suffering too much because just a good guy in general.
Yeah, we want to see him doing what he loves, which is coaching, right?
So yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and then we have a couple things to close out the episode. First, fantasy update.
Yeah.
Have you won your matchup?
Oh, man. I haven't won any of my matchups yet. I think my problem with fantasy, I think I have the best team in the league if we're just talking about basketball, like if I was putting together a basketball team. But for fantasy, they're not doing very well. So
you pretty much just want guys that put up stats.
Right. Yeah. I'm kind of coming to realize fantasy is more about just like the numbers rather than like fit of the team. Like I would be really happy if my team was put together the way I wanted to in an actual basketball game, but I haven't won. This week I'm pretty close. I'm just one category off. But how's your team doing?
They're good. I'm like down 3-6 in the categories right now.
Oh, shoot.
But I have a lot of good players. They're just getting injured.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough. Jimmy Butler just got hurt. Zach Levine's been hurt for the last couple games.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey just got hurt. And Desmond Bane's been hurt for like the last couple of games.
Oh, man.
So like, I think if my team was fully healthy, I'd be winning.
Yeah, that's a good setup.
But yeah, four injuries. So I've had to like pick up Kelly Oubre just off the waiver.
Yeah.
Earlier in the season, I picked up Jeremy Grant. He's been great.
Oh, yeah.
And I picked up Ivica Zubac, who's averaging 20 and 15 rebounds.
Yeah, he's killing it.
He's killing it. James Harden knows how to get him the ball. So.
Yeah.
So I have great. I feel like I have good players, but they're just all getting hurt.
Yeah. I feel like that's like the classic. Like James Harden always did well with like a nice center. Like Clint Capella had some really good years. And even Steven Adams. Yeah, Steven Adams played with him, I believe. They had some really good years together, so.
He can make any center look like an all-star.
Absolutely.
Dude, Clint Capella was like in all-star conversations.
Oh, absolutely.
when he was with James Harden, because they were just so in sync.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I feel like Trae Young kind of is doing that with Clint Capella too, just not to the degree that Harden did in those years.
Yeah, he's averaging 9 and 7 right now.
Capella?
Yeah.
Let's go.
So that's not, you know, that's a solid NBA player right there, but...
Anyway, but good stuff. And then our Utah Hockey Club, they got a win.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday, the day before, against, I think an overtime win. I can't remember who they were playing.
Yeah.
Looks like it was the St. Louis Blues. But good that they're winning, I guess.
Yeah.
It looks like they've been selling out every single game.
Yeah,
it's pretty high. It looks like they only have like 11,000 seats in the arena.
Yeah.
But every single game is sold out. So Salt Lake's loving it.
Yeah, and we're going to a game in a week, I think, right?
Yeah. A little over a week.
A little over a week, yeah. Really excited. I think we're playing the Golden Knights, which is pretty exciting.
Okay.
I feel like Golden Knights is like a team where I hope we're trying to follow after them, because they like, weren't they the team that like expanded and then won the championship their first year or two?
Really
or
soon,
something?
Yeah. But they got the expansion draft where we just kind of took Phoenix's team.
True.
So I think they got an advantage with that.
That makes it a little tougher. Yeah.
But we could still follow their lead. They're a pretty good team.
Yeah. 6-5-3, fourth in our division. We're definitely not the worst team in the NHL. So we'll take that.
But we did lose to the worst team. the Sharks, right?
Yeah.
It was overtime. The puck can kind of bounce around where you didn't want it to bounce. You know, you can't always.
It's true.
Sometimes it's a little bit of luck.
Yeah. We do have a lot of young guys on our team, so from what I can tell. So that's just kind of the price you pay, I guess. Well, today's the big day. All of the statues here on campus, I don't know if you've seen, they're all wrapped in plastic. Because today is the Holy War. BYU Utah play 8:30 tonight.
I'm so nervous.
I'm nervous too.
I'm nervous. I don't want to get too emotionally invested into the Holy War, but it should be a pretty good game.
Yeah.
And it's late night. I think it starts at 8:15.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
I was telling somebody the other day, I'm like, man, this like might be the best BYU time I've ever witnessed in my lifetime, but I just have trust issues. Like, this feels like a trap to me.
Yeah.
Like, but Utah.
Can't all go right.
Yeah. They have not been able to figure out things offensively. They lost to Houston in their last game, which is a pretty horrible loss. But Kyle Whittingham, he does not lose to that team down south. I heard a quote.
He's got some
that.
Tricks up his sleeve, I
yeah,
bet.
Absolutely.
Are you expecting a lot of pressure on Jake Retzlaff during this game?
Yeah, I honestly believe Kyle Whittingham's a defensive coach, and I honestly believe this will be the best defense we face all year. And this will probably be the best defense they face all year.
Yeah, true. We've been great.
So this might be, this low-key might be one of those like 17-14 type of wins for whoever wins, because this game's going to be a lot of defense.
You're right. But I do think, as much as I've doubted Jake Retzlaff, he's proven me wrong a lot this
season. True. It's so true.
So let's hope that he proves me wrong one more time.
Yeah, honestly.
And I also think I have been impressed with our offensive line.
Yeah.
And I hope that they can get the running game going so that not only does Retzloff hopefully play well, but maybe he doesn't have to have as much pressure if we can get our running game going against their defense. So
yeah, I totally agree. Hinkley Rapati and LJ Martin have just been playing really well. Both of them have had a couple hundred yard games, especially LJ in the last couple games.
Yeah, so if we can get that going again, that will take a lot of pressure off of Retzloff.
Yeah, too. If you can bring the defense in a little, we can go over the. We've shown that we can go over the top with guys like just JoJo Phillips and Darius Lassiter.
Lassiter's been awesome.
Even you can dump down a little with Chase Roberts, who's shown he can make big plays. So, oh man, I just freaking love this team. I really hope we do what we're supposed to today.
I do think it's going to be close, though.
I think so.
But that'll be exciting tonight. Probably by the time you listen to this episode, it'll have already happened.
Yeah. That's the thing with the Holy War. It's always close. Like in the last decade, BYU's had no business being in any of these games we've played in, and yet every time it feels like it's like within a touchdown at the end of the game, or like, I mean, there's been a couple of blowouts. Utah's beaten us pretty good a couple times, but most of the games have been like down to the fourth quarter. It's just the nature of the rivalry.
Yep.
Teams show up. Oh, exciting stuff.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz Podcast. Great that we got our first win. We're excited for these players just getting their development, some potential draft prospects, and we'll catch you next week after some more games. Definitely listen to us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, anywhere you hear a podcast. Send this episode or one of them to your friend. Help them get involved in the conversation, and we hope you have a great week and take care.
Peace.